Yeah. Here we go again.
Beastie Boys.
My man Rick Marrero in the house holding it down.
I'm here.
That's right.
I'm always here.
In more ways than one.
I'm here.
That's what's up, man. Thanks for tuning in, guys. It's your boy Malcolm Riddle back for the kill. And here we go again. That's right. So, yeah. I'm digging it.
Yeah.
That's what's up. I just got back from L.A. I was
L.A.
chilling. You know what I mean? I was out there. Picked up some vinyl.
Yeah. Not the BDP, I remember having that album. The other two, I had the CDs.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
I picked up for my son some vinyl. Picked him up Dr. Dre, The Chronic. Had to do it. I was out west. How can I not pick up something that represents the West Coast?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I picked up Snoop Dogg's. We were talking about that, so I had to get it.
I wonder if you took 100 kids, yeah, 13 years old, and gave that to them, if they'd even know what it was. Forget about the album themselves,
yeah,
who they are, but what that is, what a record looks like. I saw some on YouTube, they did that with a cassette player.
Yeah.
And kids had no idea. They couldn't open it. They were pressing buttons. They didn't know what it did.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, depending on the generation and what geographically where they're located. I think there's some kids that are plugged into the scene a little bit more than others. You know what I mean? Then I had to get Boogie Down Productions.
Mm-hmm.
Two from the West, one from the Bronx, yeah, representing. So
yeah, that's good. You covered it.
Yeah. I mean, but there was a ton. I was in Amoeba Records out in L.A. And I mean, it was just... It was insane.
They have a listening booth in there?
I believe...
Record shops used to have those.
I believe it did. I didn't make it to it because I was just running around like a kid in a candy store.
Oh,
and it was
I can't
imagine. Yeah, I was just...
Flipping through.
Oh, I went... You know, I just... It's insane, their collection.
Wow.
It's there. Not only that, they do special events there. So I think yesterday they had the whole cast from Black Dynamite there.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's enough. You know, for me,
wow,
yeah, to see and be around that environment. But
so are those just albums that are still in circulation? They don't press any new records.
Yeah, they're pressing new stuff.
They still press new records.
Yeah, they had some used stuff in there as well. I should. Yeah,
I wonder what. That's something I never thought about.
No, they're still pressing. They're different outlets online. Like I subscribe to a online vinyl company that. You know, presses records.
Really?
Yeah, they still do. It's in. There's a demand. I mean, it's a lot of people that still like vinyl. Gotta have vinyl.
Yeah.
Must have vinyl.
I wonder how long that'll last.
That old school hip hop. You know what I mean? And R&B, and you got rock records. I mean, just something on vinyl. That organic experience, and I've said it before. So, yeah, that's what's up. And
that's what's up.
Yeah, people. So yeah, I'm fresh off my trip out in L.A. I will give you a rundown on that probably on another podcast because we have a special guest joining us today on the mic. We got Andrew Katz, and Andrew Katz is an artist. He's an artist I discovered on just online. I think I was on Twitter, and I saw something on Chuck D. I don't know if he retweeted something. It was something. I saw a piece of art. And I just made the connections, and I looked, and I saw this just fabulous picture of Chuck D, the one I sent you.
Yeah.
And did some investigating and found this cool brother, this lover of hip-hop and rap music and sports, just about everything. He does landscapes. He does all sorts of stuff, but found out he was local. But I tweeted him and said, let's line up an interview. So he's on board. I mean, he's got some fantastic work, and we'll find more about him in the next few minutes. But I just, you know, I went online on his Facebook. It's Katz Arts, and that's KATZART. And yeah, it's you got
stuff.
Yeah, you got DMC, you got the Beastie Boys, you have Grandmaster Flash. He did one with Q-Tip. I mean, it just keeps going on and on. I mean. It's an amazing tribute to those artists.
Yeah, each one was, and I don't know if he had a picture that he took it from, but
yeah.
Each one captured that that artist, like the Chuck D one, you know, the it was struggle.
Yeah.
In that, you know, he's holding his head, and it, you know, and then Grandmaster Flash with his eyes, with his, you know, head up, you know, just, you can imagine him listening to the record that he's spinning at the time. I liked them a lot. That's good stuff. You know, that's something I wouldn't mind, you know, put up in, you know, one of the rooms of my house.
Yeah, I'm sure he sells them. Let's get him on the horn and see what he has to say. Let me see if I can pull up his number. Which ones did I give you? I gave you the DMC?
The DMC. There was one of Rod Carew. Chuck D. Grandmaster Flash.
Yeah.
I didn't see the Beastie Boys one.
Yeah, he did a whole tribute. We'll let him talk about it. Let's get him right now. Andrew.
Yeah.
How's it going? This is Malcolm.
Hey, Malcolm. How you doing?
Good. So you're on the show right now. We're taping for broadcast on American Riddle, the podcast, and I'm sitting here with he's turning out to be a co-host of a co-host, Rick Marrero, the hip-hop restaurateur.
Hey, what's going on, man?
That sounds great.
Yeah. And I was just telling the story on how I discovered you just via social media, and I reached out to see if we could chat, because I was taken by your art that you do, and a lot of it is at least the ones I saw was hip hop and sports related, and mainly a lot of the old school, some of the pioneers of hip hop. So why don't you tell us just a quick rundown where you're from and how you got started in the style of art that you do, which I believe is watercolor.
Yeah, that's right. I do a lot of watercolor, also charcoal, but if I go back to how I got started, I've been making art my whole life. I've been painting and drawing ever since I was a little kid, and I made a decision a long time ago to make it central to my life, so I ended up becoming an art teacher, so I actually teach art as well for my full-time job, and I never really wanted to make the art have to pay the bills, and I didn't want to have to rely on it. I wanted to do what I love to do. So in that way, it's really worked out well for me, because I end up teaching all school year and trying to make art while I'm teaching. But also during the summer, I'm able to do a lot more of that, a lot more art that way. So,
and where do you teach? Where are you from?
I'm in Annapolis, Maryland. I teach middle school, and I've done some adult classes as well, where I teach adults how to paint too. But primarily, when I can, I try to carve out time all year round for myself to make paintings things that I love. And so, going back to the hip hop thing, I guess it was you mentioned that I did sports art.
Yeah.
And I had done quite a lot of that. And what I did was I kind of used my paintings as my ticket for adventure. So all I'll do is I'll paint the people that I'd like to meet or that I admire. And then when I finish the painting, I seek them out and I try to find them. So I had done that with sports art for a long time. And as sports got more and more commercial, I found myself spending money to meet the players that I wanted to meet, which I didn't really particularly care for, but it ensured the fact that I'd be able to meet them.
Yeah.
So the hip-hop thing for me, I've always been a hip-hop fan, and it hadn't really occurred to me to do the hip-hop art until about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. I was in line. I'm a really big Beastie Boys fan.
Yeah.
So I did a painting of Rod Carew because I love baseball as well. And I was in line to meet Rod Carew, and it occurred to me that wouldn't it be cool to get him to acknowledge the fact that the Beastie Boys had called him out in their song Sure Shot. And then as I thought about it, I thought, well, wouldn't it be really cool not only to have him acknowledge it, but to have him write the line on the painting? And as soon as that happened, and I wasn't even sure he would do it, but when I got up to meet him, I said, would you, and I had written the line down, I've got Matt Hits like I was Rod Carew, and I realized, well, you know what, he is Rod Carew, so he would write something a little different. He would write, I've got Matt Hits. So if he would do it, it would be great.
Yeah.
So I went up and I was kind of nervous about it, and I said, hey, would you write this on my painting? And he looked at me and he said, oh, you too? And I said, what do you mean you too? He goes, oh, somebody else had a Beastie Boys album and they wanted me to sign it. And I'm like, all right, cool. So he did it. He wrote, I've got Mad Hits. And I looked at it after he signed it, and I realized that I was onto something that I really cared about, that I really wanted to pursue, this sort of link between lyrics and the people that I paint. And so at that moment, I realized I need to go meet Mike D from the Beastie Boys, because he's the one who says the line.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I don't know how long a story you want me to tell.
Keep going.
But I went up to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Later that year, this was 2012, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I think I'm going to go up to this food tasting event in Brooklyn because Mike D is DJing. And she goes, you're out of your mind. Why, you know, you're going to drive up to Brooklyn and without a plan? I'm like, no, that is my plan. I'm going to go up to this food tasting thing. I don't care about tasting the food or anything. I want to go up and I want to get in front of Mike D and tell him I admire him and show him the painting of Rod Carew.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. I drove up. I hung out in Brooklyn for the day, and I went to the DJ event. And I when I got in there, I thought, well, it's going to be tough to get close to him. It's going to be, everybody's going to be bugging him, this and that. So I went in, and I realized that everybody was there to taste food. And no one cared about the music or anything. So I went over to this little tent where the DJ was setting up.
Yeah.
There was one guy under the tent setting up his equipment and setting up his computer and trying to figure things out. And I'm like, well, I'm going to stay in here until Mike D shows up. And then I realized the guy setting up all the stuff under the tent by himself was Mike D. So I was able to get in front of him, scored the autograph. He thought it was pretty funny that I had done this all on a Rod Carew painting. And then when I turned around, I realized that I was surrounded by these other people who had like interests. There was about 10 other people there. And one of the people that was there was Mike Kearney, who started MCA Day, which was which has been an event for the past 2 years in Brooklyn to commemorate the life of Adam Yauch from the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and I fell in with them. I mean, I turned around and met these guys. I recognized Mike from his impromptu first MCA Day, where he went to Union Square in Brooklyn and with a boombox and some chart paper, and started this little tradition. Now, I shouldn't even say little; it's been kind of a big tradition now. This past 2 years, we put on an event at Littlefield in Brooklyn, and had quite a few people show up, including Danny Boy from House of Pain and DJ Hurricane, who used to DJ for the Beastie Boys. And so, as the word has gotten out, what I've been able to do is just keep plugging away at the art. And so I've done a lot of art that has to do with the Beastie Boys. I've had a lot of art that had to do with Adam Yauch himself. And then we sort of sponsored a show, an art show, that was open to anybody all over the planet to show work that had something to do with the Beastie Boys or Adam Yauch when we had MCA Day.
Yeah. And it's amazing because I've looked at your art, and for the listeners listening, it's something to marvel, because it's a realistic portrayal of the artist itself. And I've seen the skateboard that you did also. That's very impressive as well. Tell us a story about that.
Well, that's another one that was sort of born out of the Adam Yauch admiration. When Adam died in 2012, Right before he passed away, the Tony Hawk Foundation, Tony Hawk, the professional skateboarder, had they had started this endeavor to get a musical artist to write lyrics on professional skateboards that were already used by professional skaters. And so they paired up like somebody like Bucky Lasik with somebody like Adam Yauch. And I know Elton John did it, and Bob Dylan did it, and Paul McCartney did it. So what they would do is they would sell the signed board that was signed by both the skater and the musician to raise funds for skate parks all over the world, which I thought was great. And so what happened was Bucky Lasik, a professional skater, he contacted Adam Yauch in April or earlier that year and said, would you do this? And he said, sure, and he did it. And Bucky didn't realize how sick Adam was at the time, and obviously he died later, actually about a month after he signed the deck. But he wrote the whole song of Bodhisattva Vow, Beastie Boys song, out on two decks.
Wow.
And then it was raffled off in December after he passed away as part of the normal process. Well, I was foolish enough to go, I'm really interested in that. I'm going to bid on that. And so I don't have a lot of money. So I thought, all right, I'm going to go up to like $300 or $400, maybe $500. And so I thought it was all big. And it ended up selling for $35,000, I believe. So I wasn't even near the top. But I remember thinking, at the time when I realized I was out of the bidding, I'm like, well, what would stop me from making my own tribute to Adam, doing my own deck? And so what I did was I hand painted a blank deck that I got at a store at the mall, and I dedicated it to Adam, and it was all based on lyrics, some of my favorite lyrics, but it was all hand painted, so it looked hand painted, and I realized that I wanted to do something more professional. And I was watching this documentary one day called Skateboard Nation. And I'm not a skater. I always admired the aesthetic and the graphics and the art. So I was watching this documentary about this company called Wounded Knee Skateboards, which is a great name for a skate company, I think, especially given that they have Native American ties. And the whole point of that company is to build skate parks for Native Americans. In real poor parts of the country. So when I was watching that, I said, I'm going to contact the dude that's involved with this. His name's Jim Murphy. And I shot him a Facebook message or an email. And I wrote my whole plan. I really want to build and design a professional skate deck about Adam Yauch based on lyrics. And could he give me any advice? And I honestly didn't really think I'd hear from him.
Yeah.
And I heard from him ten minutes later, he's like, Andy, this sounds great. We would love to see what you can do. He goes, we farm all of our graphics out, and we have a partner in Chapman Skates in New York. He goes, give them a call, tell them I sent you. And sure enough, I did that. I called up Chapman Skates in New York, and Glenn Chapman answered the phone, and he's like, how can we get you through this process? And he's like, this is what you need to do. I'm going to give you a template. You make your art, you put it on the template, you send it to us, and then we'll make your board. And it was that easy. I mean, I wouldn't say it was easy because it was a lot of work, but I don't think I've ever been more proud of an endeavor because it was truly the unknown for me. I hadn't done anything like that before. And now I have this like very limited supply of skate decks. I made 50, because that was actually the minimum that you could make was 50. And it was not a huge investment, but it was an investment of time and a little bit of money. And I wanted to put it out there so that people who didn't get the raffle deck could have kind of an opportunity to collect something that was special and that was really done from the heart.
Is that still available?
I guess I've sold about half of them. So, yeah, they are still available.
Where can someone find them?
You guess you could basically just contact me through Katz Art on Facebook, which is K-A-T-Z Art on Facebook. And I also have a website. Unfortunately, it's not mobile right now, but it's on a regular desktop computer or a laptop, and that's www.katzart.com. And I'm pretty open to when people are inquisitive and they want to know more about things. Like I want to get things out there. I don't want to keep them all to myself. I'd much rather people have them and enjoy them. And I would say of the 25 or so that I've sold, I think one person put wheels on them and skates with it, and the other ones hung them on their wall.
Yeah.
So, and I gave one to my son. So he's got wheels on his too.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. I mean, it definitely is a piece of art. So I could see why you would, either give it a gift as a gift or hang it on the wall or even ride it, make use out of it. So,
well, the interesting thing for me is that sort of segued back into the rest of the hip hop world, because what's happened there's a venue in DC called the Howard Theater.
Yeah, and familiar with
and
it.
And they renovated it recently.
It's
I'm
beautiful.
Not sure how long ago. It really is. It really is beautiful. And they didn't do like an old school job where they made it look old. They made it look new.
Yeah.
So the inside is very, very nice. But the coolest part about it is that there's no separation between the performers and the audience. There's a stage, but there's nothing in between at all. And you can pretty much lean your elbows up on the stage, and you're there. So I started going there about this time last year. I got a cool invitation from because someone had seen my art. This guy Van called me up, and he was the manager of the Furious Five, and so. I flipped out. I thought, that's amazing. He's like, yeah, we really want you to come to the show, and if you can make a piece of art having to do with the Furious Five, we would love it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what a cool challenge. This is great. And I live close enough. It's about an hour to go down there, and it's usually a lot of fun just going to D.C. anyway. So I was like, totally up for it. And I was a bit nervous because I thought he wanted me to draw all five of the people in one piece, and I had a very limited amount of time. So I thought about it, and I ended up drawing Keith Cowboy, the one who passed away, back, I guess, a while ago in the 80s, and I did a charcoal drawing, and when I got there, I met Van, and he introduced me to Melly Mel, and then I ended up meeting the rest of the guys, Raheem and Kid Creole, and it was just an amazing night, because they weren't sure what they wanted to do with the piece. And I left it in the dressing room with Melly Mel. I said, you guys do whatever you need to do with it. It's yours, whatever you want to do. I actually wanted to get autographs on it and take it home.
Yeah.
But when I realized that they liked it, I was like, whatever you want to do. And unbeknownst to me, they had decided that in the middle of the show, they were gonna bring it out on stage. And that's what they did. And Kid Creole walks out with it over his head. And they played a voice track of Keith Cowboy, and everybody sort of put their head down, and I was flipping out. I thought, this is amazing. Like, what did I do to deserve this? This is great. And then, Mel, he sort of called me out of the audience and, said that I had done a nice job. And it was really just a very cool, inspiring night to just be a part of that in any way. It was kind of over the top for me.
Yeah,
and what I've done is I've just continued to go back. Every time there's a hip-hop show down there, I kind of look at it as a challenge for myself. I'll make a painting, and I'll go down there, and I'll try to meet my
Smart.
Musical heroes. So, earlier this year, I ended up meeting KRS-One, which I thought was amazing. I've always admired him and his approach to hip-hop. Rakim. I met him in Baltimore at another show, and when I was there, he signed my piece, but as he was signing it, I think he's like, wait a minute, I kind of want this. And so when I went back to the show at the Howard, I brought the piece that he signed and a new one, and I let him choose. So he chose this charcoal drawing, which, in my opinion, was one of my stronger pieces. It's just a big black and white portrait of him with a towel on his head, sort of looking off to the side.
Yeah,
and he I think his daughter. I'm connected with her on Instagram, and she said that it was in his studio. Which, that's kind of a huge honor.
Yeah, that's about as, you could stop right there, because that's about as big as it gets when it comes to this podcast. You mentioned, everyone you've mentioned right now, that's what we talk about. We talk about a lot of different things on this show, but I can tell you we've mentioned, every name you've mentioned, whether it's the Beastie Boys, especially KRS-One and Rakim, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that as far as MCs to us. And that's, again, like I told you before when we were tweeting back and forth, I was saying, don't worry. We'll have plenty of stuff to talk about just because, we like the same stuff. We're from the same mold. And, I could imagine, like, to have your something that you created hanging in his Rakim's studio.
Right?
I mean,
right?
I would think about that. That would put me to sleep every night. I would just think about that, and I would just. Rakim, seriously, that's the real deal. Yeah, you'd have to be beside yourself when you hear stuff like that, or when you see someone reach out to you and say they love your work, especially when it's people that you grew up with, that you admire, and you admire their art. I mean,
That's exactly how I feel about it. You know, I don't rap, I don't dance particularly well. But these songs, these rhymes are such a part of me growing up, and just listening to their messages and sort of wishing that a lot of the guys that were doing it now kind of would take a page out of what they did, because I just don't think it gets better than the guys we've mentioned. I mean, I should absolutely mention, you know, when we talk about people who I admire and the whole idea of I've been empowered by the art part, but the social media part has been amazing. You know, I'm here. I am talking to you because of social media.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest ones, and I should tell this story quickly, is I was I guess the one of the first ones I did after the whole Mike D experience is I had heard that Public Enemy was coming to D.C. in the November of 2012. And I had seen them one other time, but I'm a big admirer of Chuck D. I mean, he kind of walks the walk, but he also holds other people accountable in a way that very few other people could not only do, but get away with. I mean, he really does like kind of want people to be responsible with what they're saying and what they're doing, and to try to be role models in a way that's empowering. And I've never been more empowered by someone else than I have by Chuck D, because I was getting ready to go to that show, and I had just discovered Twitter. I feel like I was pretty late to the game, but I had done this charcoal of Chuck, and I tweeted it, and I realized that you could tweet things to the people that were, you know, in the painting. So I attached him to it, and he has like 300,000 followers, and I think he follows just as many people. So when he followed me, I was definitely complimented, but I realized I wasn't in the rarest company. He has so many other people that he follows. But one day I kept tweeting lyrics. I kept tweeting lyrics and, hey, this show's coming up. I can't wait. You know, this show's coming up. More lyrics. The picture again. Over and over and over again. And then one night I'm sitting there, and my phone vibrates, and I look down, and it said, hey, bro, DM me. Yeah. And I didn't even know what that meant. I was like, what does that even mean? What's DM? So I asked my wife, I'm like, what does that mean? And she said, I think it means direct message. And I said, okay. And then I started worrying. I'm like, oh, he's going to, it's like a cease and desist. You know, you need to stop doing that. You know, knock it off. I thought that's where he was going with it. And so I got back to him immediately, and I said, hey, you know, I'm a big admirer. What can I do for you? And he's like, you're coming to the show, right? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, I have an endeavor that I'm working on, and maybe you can be a part of it. And I just about lost it. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, just even meeting Chuck would have been the highlight of my life, and then I'm going to actually have a chance to have a conversation with him. So I went to the show that night. And it was the Hip Hop Gods tour, and he was doing it sort of like a review where he would come out and introduce a band and then kind of go off to the side and then he'd come out and introduce another band and go off to the side. So he was doing it sort of like Dick Clark, you know, like he was like a true MC, like really trying to organize things.
Yeah.
So I realized that it was my chance to show him the artwork during the show. I pulled out the portrait. He called me back, and he asked me what I wanted him to write on it. And I had thought about it all day because there's a lot of P.E. lyrics that I love. And I went with I Don't Rhyme for the Sake of Ritalin. So he wrote that on there and signed his name, and I thought that was the best thing in the world. And he's like, yeah, and it was really loud, so I could barely hear him. He's like, you know, we gotta talk. And I was like, yeah, we definitely do. And he's like, come over to Fairfield. And I didn't know what that meant. So I was like, yeah, yeah. I just nodded. I was trying to be cool. And then I went and saw the rest of the show. And after the show, I met him around side by the bus. I wanted to thank him and get a picture. And I'm like, can we get that picture now? And he's like, yeah, but you're coming to Fairfield, right? I said, what does that mean? He goes, we're staying at a Fairfield hotel. Can you come and meet us there? I was like, sure. It's like 2:00 in the morning. Yeah, why not? You know, so I went over there, and I missed him. I guess everybody was tired, and I was late getting there. So they had all gone up to sleep or whatever. And I'm like, man, I blew it. That was my chance right there. And as I was driving home, he texted me. He's like, or he tweeted me. He's like, hey, you know, we waited around. I couldn't find you. Are you around tomorrow? And I just drove back down in the morning, and we met. And it was wild. Everybody left. Everybody got on the bus to leave because they were going to the next city. And I thought I had missed my chance. And the whole hotel lobby cleared out, and all the fans that were waiting there cleared out. And I'm just sitting there like, what am I doing? I'm like all by myself. How did this happen? And then sure enough, Chuck walks out the elevator. I guess he doesn't get on the bus. He drives separately.
Yeah.
And he sits down with me, and we talk for like 20 minutes.
That's
and,
awesome.
It was sick. It was, you know, it was all in a day's work for him. But I got a chance to tell him, you know, how much I admired him. And I told him he should wear an Oriole hat more often because I'm an Oriole fan. So, you know, it was great. I had a really, like, good conversation with him. And really, really long story short, he put me to work. Like, I'm the curator for PublicEnemy.com now.
That's awesome. And that's just through connecting through social media. That's just through reaching out and being able to not also inspire someone else in your own way through words. That's what I find fascinating about that's what I love about social media. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you get those rare opportunities, those surreal opportunities, because I've experienced them myself. And I not only experience them with the famous, but also people in the community like yourself, who I find interesting. And that's why I reached out to you, because I saw – I think I saw the picture on Chuck D had that you did or something, and that's how I made the connection. And I was like, wow. And then I started looking, and I looked at the art, and I made, you know, I did the math, and, you know, that's what I love about this era, because back in the day, I grew up in the 80s, so back in the day, you couldn't connect. I mean, if you went to a show, yeah, you could get as close as you could to the stage, but that was it. That was it. You know what I mean? And now you can reach out, have conversations. In your case, one thing led to the other, and look at that. Look where you're at. I mean,
it's really amazing. And you know, even now, occasionally, like, Chuck will, you know, retweet something, because I include him on a lot of my things, because if he decides, yeah, I'm going to retweet this, it goes out to 300,000 people. So I'm not going to be able to get that kind of exposure on a message unless somebody is sort of benevolent and retweet. And retweeting is so easy to do, but it really is an extremely powerful mode of communication, because if you can find yourself connected to somebody who has that kind of clout, then you really can get huge words out. And I just have so much fun with it, because it'll be what I do when I'm eating or when I'm, you know, just hanging out. If I'm not doing anything, I should probably send a piece of art out with a cool lyric and include a bunch of people on it and see where it goes.
Yeah.
And it's really, and like you said, here we are, you know, we're talking. in a way I probably wouldn't have met half the people or a quarter of the people that I've met over the past year and a half just going to shows. But now that there's this extension of, you know, not only do you go to a show, but there's this record of it now where you can blast it out and other people can see.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than that. And like you said, it's a powerful way to communicate with people. And I think that's exactly what I saw. I think he retweeted something, and that's what triggered my interest.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I go down the line, and I'm, you know, like I said, I was looking. You have one at DMC, I believe you did, in the watercolor.
Yeah.
Dougie
mm-hmm.
Fresh, you did one Q-Tip. I mean, it just goes on and on, and you hit it right on the head. It is a great way to meet people that you find interest in and that you've admired. Because we've started to do the same thing with this podcast. The podcast is right over a year and a half old, and it's now starting to get that momentum. You know, where I produce one every week, and like I said, when I was telling you, we did Nicer from Tatch Crew, Crazy Legs from Rocksteady, and you know, we're adding you to that list too. So it's for me, it's surreal because it's like I grew up and I was daydreaming about these guys, and to have them, you know, have an opportunity to touch and to talk with them, it's just it blows me away, and I'm sure you can relate to that.
Oh, no question. And you know, it should probably be mentioned that as boastful as some of these guys are in their lyrics about how great they are and how wonderful they are at rhyming and all of that, they are. I haven't met one that hasn't been completely kind and open with their time, and even though somebody's pulling on them. And one other thing that happened with the MCA Day thing was the organizer of MCA Day, Mike Kearney, he had said, hey, you know what would be cool? If the moment is right when you meet some of these guys, and this was leading up to our big event in May, he goes, why don't you ask them how they feel about MCA? And so I was like, wow, I don't know if I'd do that. But I kept finding myself in these moments when I had already gotten the autograph or the picture, and they were just letting me hang around in either the dressing room or backstage. And I said, you know, I'll do this. So I went up to, the first one I went up to was Rakim. And people are tugging on him and pulling on him in all these different directions. And I said, hey, can you say something about Adam Yauch, about MCA? And he, you know, I guess he's used to doing the whole spots for people. So he looked at my little camera phone, which I was holding in portrait view, which I'm terrible. I do that every time, and I blow it because I have these really incredible videos, and they're always cropped sideways. But he looked right in my phone. He goes, "Wow, you know, MCA. You know, he was our brother, and you know, the VC Boys always did it really well." And he just, it's like someone can just flick a switch on that guy because he can say really poignant stuff right off the top of his head. And he was really accommodating, and they were asking him to go out on the stage while he was doing that. They were like announcing him, and he took a minute, and that was great. And then the other thing that I guess I went to this thing called the Great Debate, which was they call it Emancipation Week in D.C. They do it every year to honor the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah.
And this year they had this thing called the Great Debate at the Lincoln Theater. And it's great that I live close enough to these things where I can just run down during the day and see these things. But it was Chuck D, it was Moni Love, MC Hammer was there, mm-hmm. and they're all sort of talking about different issues. And I told Chuck, I was like, hey, I can't wait to come down and see you on Sunday. He goes, why don't we meet ahead of time? And I was like, okay, that sounds great. And so, unfortunately, when I got to where I was meeting him, he was sick as a dog. Like, he had food poisoning.
Oh,
and
it's the worst.
He kind of just beasted through it and ended up, I said, you know, you should probably cancel if you're feeling this bad. He goes, I can't do that. I'm here. And we ended up going over together, and he beasted through it, and he did a good job. But he was so good about, like, introducing me to other people. He kept checking on me to make sure I was all right. And I'm thinking, that's nuts. You know, and I said, at the end of the night, I said, hey, you know, thanks for letting me tag along. And he's like, Andy, you know, you're not tagging along. This is, you know, you're part of this now. You're part of the group.
Oh, that's insane. That's awesome.
It is. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, and I guess it should be said. I mean, and because I did the sports thing for a long time, and I still do that with different athletes. The athletes, and I can't completely generalize, but the hip hop guys are so much more down to earth.
Yeah.
With fans than are the athletes. They're very dismissive a lot of times. It's just, I think it's hard to be memorable when you talk to them. But it seems to me that the hip-hop guys that I've met are all very, you know, in the moment with you. They're there. They're talking to you. It's pretty cool. Moni Love was like that. She took some time out at the Great Debate thing, and she was, you know, once I and told her what I was doing there and how I was, you know, trying to get these messages about Adam Yauch, she, you know, lit up, and she wanted to help. And I guess I had to bring it back to the skateboard thing. That's one thing. I almost use that as my my security blanket. I'll bring that to all the shows now. And I'll show it to the artist that I'm trying to meet. And I'll say, you know, this is all about Adam Yauch. And as soon as I do, the reaction is very sincere. At first, they might say, oh, that's neat. But when I tell them it's about Adam, their whole demeanor changes.
Yeah.
For instance, I went to Cypress Hill show at the Howard Theater back in October, and I had the skateboard with me, and they all signed it, Fen Dog and Be Real and Eric Bobo, and they're the DJ it's not DJ Muggs, because he's, I guess he wasn't with them on this tour, but anyway, they ended up all signing it and passing it around, and at the end, like, hey, do you mind if I get a picture with Be Real? And he's like, sure, man. And this deck is all about Adam Yauch. And he looked at it again as if as if for the first time. And then he started looking at it and go, oh, like a lemon to a lime to a lemon. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. He goes, hey, you mind if I get a picture of that? And so he took a picture of me holding my board. I thought, this is just weird. You know, like, I'm on the other side. Like, what are you taking pictures of me for? This is crazy. But that's how it's happening. You know, all of these funny little moments, these stories that are possible through art, through social media, through other people that have been kind enough to empower me, whether it's through their lyrics or actually empowering me through promoting what I've done. You know, it's pretty neat.
And what's cool about it is I mean, yeah, you have to do some legwork, like you have to actually seek out. You know, I had to seek you out. You know, but you responded instantly. And same thing with Rocksteady with Crazy Legs. I mean, you know, we have someone who knows someone, and then once you get in the circle, you're right. They're very nice and open and willing to talk and spend time with you, and I love that. You know, like you said before, whether it's in sports or any arena, sometimes if you get that pushback from an artist, you know, it leaves a, you know, bad taste in your mouth. But I've not experienced that at all. It's been great to be able to connect with people, and I can't say that enough. I
agree, and I think part of it is that even though I'm asking maybe for an autograph here and there, and generally I don't want anything from them other than to tell them, hey, I think your music's great. I think you're doing a great job. And I'm willing to help you spread the word about your music. I think they recognize that as, you know, okay, I'm not pulling on them. I'm not, and in fact, I don't do that. Like, I don't ever sort of jockey for position. If it's not going to happen, I'm not going to meet somebody. I'll just back off. Where there are a lot of other people that will sort of push and shove, and I really try to make it a point not to do that. And an example of that was, Chuck D was honored back in September of last year with the Paul Robeson Award, and that was also at the Lincoln Theater. And I said, hey, I'm going to come down. I really want to bring my family down, and I want you to meet my kids and my wife. And he's like, oh, that's great. He goes, my wife and my baby are going to be there too. So if you've ever seen Chuck in a conversation, he's and he'll be the first to admit this, he can be pretty long-winded. So it was a very long interview on stage, and I thought it was great.
Yeah.
But my kids were like melting down. They're like, because they're 11 and 9, but they know how much I admire Chuck. So at the end, I thought, I'd love to, get a picture with all of us. And it wasn't going to happen. Everybody just went up to the stage, and he was surrounded immediately. And because I've been working for him, I have his text, his phone number, and we text back and forth from time to time. And I, as a last-ditch effort, I was like, maybe he knows I'm trying to get back there. I just sent him a message. I'm like, hey, we can't get backstage. And he's like, oh, Andy, just get somebody to bring you back. And that was my ticket. Like, I just showed the guy at the door. Yeah, he wants us back there.
That's what's
and
up.
So, yeah, my family got a chance to meet him, and coincidentally, my daughter had done a report on Paul Robeson the year before, and so I told her to bring it so she could show Chuck the Paul Robeson report she had done, because he was getting the Paul Robeson Award.
Yeah.
And he signed it, great job, and shook her hand, and he shook my son's hand. He took this great picture, made sure my wife was in the picture. He made sure my wife was in the picture, too. It was just, he stopped everything he was doing. He's a total gentleman. He really is.
Yeah, you're...
I find it really ironic that the name of his group is Public Enemy, because it's just... And I know it's not because he sees himself as an enemy, but he's just the antithesis of somebody that you would consider an enemy. He's just such a good guy. He really is a good person.
Well, yeah, and that's also the point of Public Enemy, is to bring out the good which others try to cover up. I've been following Public Enemy since the beginning. I've seen them countless times when I was living up in Flint, Michigan, and we would drive up to Saginaw, and I remember just being in awe the first time I saw PE, the first time I saw Rakim, the first time I saw LL. I met DMC one time. I was in my gym in Herndon, Virginia, working out in a hotel, and I was just working out, and this brother was working out next to me, and we were working on our back, so we were doing pull-ups and stuff, and I looked up at him, and I was like, hey man, this is gonna sound a little weird, but anyone ever tell you you look a lot like DMC? And he just stops his workout, and he goes, yeah. You do. And he goes, well, it's me. And I was like,
awesome.
I was like Daryl Mack, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we just started working out together. We just finished our workout, and he was cool about it. But I, at that point, this was years ago. I couldn't even process it. Like, it made my year.
Absolutely.
Everything I do, if you look at me, I'm always in my shell toes, always in shell tops, always wear Adidas, and a lot of the things that I've done up until this point has been influenced by Run D and Jay. So it was amazing.
Yeah. That is amazing. And what's cool about DMC is he epitomizes the idea of being an ambassador for hip-hop.
Yeah.
He doesn't ever seem to tire of talking about it.
No.
When he does talk about it, he is incredibly enthusiastic. He almost looks angry because his facial expressions are so intense.
Yeah.
But he tells stories, and he's great, man. I've seen him a couple of times on panels and talking about things, and just a great guy. And we were trying to get him to come to the MCA Day event, and he couldn't. But my buddy Mike met up with him in Boston at this Strikeout Cancer event.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he was going to different bowling alleys. DMC was going to different bowling alleys to raise money.
Wow.
And so it was right before a Red Sox game right near Fenway Park. And it ended up that the weather was really bad. It rained, so there was very few people there. And so my buddy Mike had a couple of minutes with him, and he's like, would you do a shout-out for MCA Day? And it was the grand finale shout out that we showed at our event. So we had, I guess if you looked at them in a row, it was Chuck. Because Chuck did like an 8-minute interview with me. He sat down while he was sick as a dog that day, and insisted that we get it done. He's like, yeah, let's get it done. So he did a shout out for MCA. He actually told us, it wasn't even just a shout out. He told stories, and it was actually very emotional listening to him, because one, he was sick. But two, he was telling really poignant stories about Adam. So it went Chuck, It went Rakim, Dougie Fresh, Moni Love, and DMC. And they each had something to say, and it was just so cool to have their voice. None of them were there, but all of them, all of their voices and videos were presented on stage. And it was really overwhelming for me to see that, because it was a lot of, like you said earlier, legwork, you know, getting in front of them, asking them some questions, asking them if they wouldn't mind, and them, you know, agreeing to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as DMC, man, I'm a big admirer of him. And I'm pretty sure, just because of the whole social media thing, that he's seen the painting that I did, because he's retweeted me a bunch of times, and he's even responded to some direct requests.
It blows you away. Yeah, it blows you away when that happens. Like, he followed me on Twitter, and I was just, yeah, again, it made my day. It just blew me away. So yeah, it's fun, and it's something that, like I said in the beginning of the podcast, it's something that we strive for here, is to bring out the good and connect with people and people like yourself, and expose people, you know, to what's going on in the community, whether it's hip hop or entertainment or sports or just, you know, our everyday lives, because there's so much good stuff and good content out there. You know, yeah. Even though there's so much, we still got to sift through a lot of the BS that's out there and find all that's good in our communities. So that's why I wanted to have you on the program today. And you did you knocked it out of the park. I mean, you really killed it. And your art speaks for itself. I'll post pictures up on American Riddle Facebook site and on Twitter as well later this week, so where can people find you? Why don't you run that down again so people know where to seek out your art and make purchases, yeah, sure, and all that good stuff.
My website is www.catsart.com, KATZART.com, and that only works on a computer these days. I have to get the mobile site up and running. And then most of my up-to-date stuff is on Facebook. I have a Cat's Art Facebook page, and they can find it there. And then my email is ajcatsart@verizon.net, and that's a pretty good way to get in touch with me if there's any interest in commissions or any of that good stuff. I love doing it. In fact, this is kind of a cool story. I really wanted to do a painting of Jay Dilla, and so I was on Saturday, and I usually take a pretty long time to do a painting. And when I say a pretty long time, actual work time is probably between 15 and 30 hours. Wow. So it's to do one thing. So it was this past weekend. Or last weekend, I started the drawing on Saturday, and I did the painting on Sunday, and I was done, and I couldn't believe it. And while I was drawing it, I heard that there was a Jay Dilla celebration benefit concert at the Howard Theater in D.C., the D.C. Loves Dilla event, and I was like, wow, that's serendipity right there. Started this, and there's going to be a show, and so I think Fife from Tribe Called Quest is going to be there, and at least three or four other groups.
When is it?
Are going to be performing. What's that?
When is it?
It is tomorrow, Thursday.
Oh, wow.
Thursday night, yeah. So that's pretty cool. And then De La Soul is playing on Saturday night there, so I'm hoping to bring my skateboard down there and get that signed by them. But when I met them last year, I hadn't thought about bringing the skateboard with me everywhere. Now that I have, and I've met them already, I thought, oh, I got to get them on the board too. And there's actually not enough room anymore. It's pretty crazy. But I have the number one out of the 50 decks that I made is the one I kept, and I'm getting everybody and anybody who was a contemporary of Yauk on the board.
Yeah, that's awesome. I applaud that and everything that you're doing.
Thanks. And the one thing, I'll probably send you, and you can do whatever you want with it, is I'll send you the video. of the shout outs that we showed at MCA Day, because it is on YouTube. And then you can see what each of these people had to say about Yauch. And I feel like that's always an underlying thing. We're always trying to, you know, spread the word about what a great guy he was and how much he's missed.
Yeah, I mean, and I was thinking that over the course of this interview. I mean, if there's two people that I miss a lot is MCA and Jam Master Jay. But yeah, their contributions to hip hop and the community at large. I mean, their influence is. Yep. I mean, there's no bounds to it. And he's truly missed. And I have a deep appreciation of everything that he left us. So it's I even opened the show playing the Beastie Boys today. So it's
nice.
Yeah, it's something I got my son recently into vinyl, and you know, I've bought albums, their albums, and it's just something that I want to pass on, you know, to my children.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sort of the same way. I always had some vinyl, but now I'm kind of making a more concerted effort and setting aside space in my house and talking it up a bit more with my kids. And you know, there's nothing like the artwork on the outside.
Yeah.
And even when CDs came out, it was just so small you couldn't get as much out of the visual.
No, and now it's gone. You have a digital copy of it, but I think you have to get back to that old organic feel. You want something to touch. You want something tangible. You want to look at it. You want to listen to the entire thing, not just download one song and move on to another artist.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember pulling out the record sleeve and they started doing all the lyrics on there. I mean, that's one thing I really like. Rap Genius for that. The fact that you can go and look up lyrics, and that's what I do. I do a lot of, you know, I'll cut and paste if it's more efficient. I'll cut out a lyric and then drop it in with my painting and then tweet it out. But it was kind of funny because yesterday I inadvertently got in touch with Spice from A Tribe Called Quest because I cut and paste a Dear Dilla quote from his new song Dear Dilla.
Yeah,
and I put it with my painting. And he immediately is like, dude, you're getting the lyrics wrong. And I'm like, what? Like, I got it right from Rap Genius. And I look back, and I asked him, I'm like, what lyric did I get wrong? And he told me, and I looked, and sure enough, Rap Genius had it wrong. So then I listened to the tune, and I corrected it on Rap Genius. I went in as an editor, and I corrected it. So it was
kind of
a long walk, but I ended up... making it right.
That's good. That's what's up. So, yeah, Andrew, yeah. I appreciate you joining us today. Let's stay in contact because I may come up to Saturday's show.
Sweet. Oh, if you do, so, you got to let me know, man. Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted on that. But I'll follow up with you after the program and let you know what's up.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
My man, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us today. All right.
All right. All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's awesome, huh?
That's good stories,
huh? And he's passionate.
Yeah, you hit that one on, and that's a good pull right there because you never know what how it's going to go.
Yeah, but you see, you guys listening, tuning in, it's that through social media, just through connecting, just knowing your environment, paying attention to who's around you. You know what's online. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of videos of people fighting, a lot of videos of just weird stuff going around. But how are you going to choose to spend your time and what you're going to feed your mind?
That's right, yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I look at some of those videos too. They're pretty they're pretty funny. But every now and again, or not even every now and again, more often there is a sea of great content and great people out there. Like Andrew Katz. I mean, his art is amazing. And again, I'll post pictures for you guys to see. But just to connect and see how he's connecting, you know, with people that he admire.
Yeah.
You know, he admires. And not just the celebrity factor, but just, you know, what they do with MCA Day, how it affects the community at large. I mean, that's good stuff, huh?
Yeah, that was, you know... Between him and Terry Excellent,
yeah,
you know, the there's a common theme now that you're starting to hear on 99.9% of the podcasts you've done with guests is, and they start out with a passion for something and they do it just to do it,
Yeah.
And it grows into something more. And all of them, you know, the last four, you know, hip-hop related, for the most part, you know, they're finding ways to affect the community outside their artwork or their art form.
You don't really know. Like, you know in your gut and your heart why you do something. Like, you get up every day, you know you got to work. You know what I mean? You know you got to, you know, take care of your children and your family and stuff like that. And then you try to find different outlets, you know what I mean, to relax and find peace of mind. And you whether it's sports or whether it's something in the community, donating your time. Or like in this case, when I do the podcast, I remember people, when I started it, they were like, are you getting paid for it? You got to get sponsors. You got to get this. You got to, like, I'm just trying to get better at doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. I don't know where it's going to take me. I don't know who I'm going to meet. But you're right. It's starting to take form. So that is a you know, it's a cool thing to see. Yeah. So what I find cool about that is just connecting, and that's what he was talking about. How he's connected with so many people, just, you know, by making an effort, getting up and doing something.
That's it. It's the effort.
You know, day in and day out. Are you doing it to get paid? Are you doing it to get famous? Are you doing it to get rich? No, not at all. You're just doing it because you're driven. You're motivated, you know, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
At the end of the day, we all do want to get those things. Yeah. You know, you do have.
It's all about who wants it more. Who wants what? Like you said, it's the effort.
I don't do anything solely based on, you know, financial gain or just personal gain. You do it because, you know, you feel it in your heart. You feel it in your gut. And that's what's pushing you forward. That's what's driving you forward. Now, later on, after you plant those seeds, if you get to sit down and have a Q&A or an interview or a friendship with someone, those are the rewards, you know, of that labor that you've put in, you know. And sometimes that does turn into financial.
Yeah.
You know, you get a lot of benefits. But, you know, I don't think you don't want to just – I think that's the problem with – a lot of artists today is when you see something, you're like, I want the Lambo. You know what I mean? I want the gold. You know what I mean? I want the platinum. I want the girls. You know what I mean? They go into it. That's there. And that's also going to be your demise within that field as well.
Yeah. That's what I think 90% of hip hop, they're talking about that before they have a dollar in their pocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not about
peace. No, not about having fun.
It's not about the struggle to get, you know, to be heard.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I go through. I'm going to tell you a story about how I grew up, or I'm going to paint a picture that tells you the story about how I grew up, or, you know, what's influenced me. Now it's like you said, want. I want this. I want this. I want this.
Yeah. No. You and you're right. It's It shows in your art.
Right.
You know what I mean? It shows in your art. That's for sure. It transcends. I mean, Andrew even mentioned it about how Chuck D, you know, is a spokesperson for you know, personal responsibility of your actions, of what you say. Mm-hmm. And he wishes others in this new age of rap music would follow. You know, and, you know, we have to exist in this community. We have to exist in the hip-hop community and, you know, in and outside of it. And you have to have some form of responsibility. I said it in the last podcast, you know, it's something that I pay attention to. Yeah, I joke around and I'll talk about stuff on the air. But at the same time, I'm mindful that I may be saying something too much or, you know what I mean, whether I'm saying motherfucker too much or I have to look at myself and what I'm presenting and be respectful to this art as well. And by no means do I consider myself an artist. I'm just, you know, basically hitting record and seeing what happens.
Yeah, but when you put it out there for other people to listen to, their responsibility, just like when you put it out there for other people to see, hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a responsibility.
So it's growing, and we're growing. You know, we appreciate you guys growing with us. And, thanks for tuning in. Rick, thanks for hosting. Another awesome episode.
Yeah.
You know,
probably one. I mean, I think it's one of the that he could talk.
Yeah,
I mean, and effortlessly told stories.
I love that guy.
The hearing how he met Chuck D and how one thing led to another. Man,
love that guy. Yeah, I knew it too. Like, we tweeted back and forth. And, oh, what are we going to talk about? What's this? You know what I mean? It didn't seem like he was worried, but at the same time, you know, I assured him that we're on the same page. Just based off his pictures, you can learn a lot through someone through social media. It doesn't take long to figure them out, their personality, what their views are, anything. I think we're good. We're good on content to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, you're carving out a little niche as part of the podcast, that subculture that's right there, support, you know, that's got as much as many stories to tell, it's got as much passion as the stuff that everybody hears about. You're like you said, you're making the effort to find stories like his, which are, that's inspiration too.
Yeah.
People hear that. I was getting inspired, man. Look what this guy's done. Yeah. He's a school teacher. He's an art teacher, middle school.
Yeah. He makes the time.
Yeah.
To follow his passion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He makes the time. And that's what I encourage everyone else to do as well. Everyone listening, I encourage Rick Marrero to keep following his passion.
I'm going
to
get up and cook some shit right now.
That's right.
I'm inspired.
That's right. And that's what's up. You know what I mean? He's Cat's art inspired us today, and we're going to go out and do it. And that's what we recommend you do today. So follow Andrew Katz on Facebook at Cat's Art and www.catsart.com. And then I'll post links to his art as well so you guys can see what we're talking about today. So, Mariam Tazi had the day off today. But she was with us in spirit.
Yep.
And you know how I do it, people. On that note, I got to say it. Domino, motherfucker. Yep.